Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
Today we're going to be looking into the book of Genesis, speaking about Jacob. And for those of you that don't know it, you're probably wondering, who in the right mind wants to wrestle with God? I don't know if I wanted to, and I wouldn't want to even attempt it, but I'm here to tell all of you that each and every one of us have. And so we're going to turn to chapter 32 in Genesis. It starts at 32:22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint. As he wrestled with him, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Some of you may know, I did a good bit of wrestling growing up, and I think I started about age 6 or so. And through the years, you know, I kept, when I first started, I wasn't too into it. I was like, you know, kind of felt forced into it, and then, you know, then I fell in love with it, and it taught me so many things, and that can tie to my Christian walk. And I didn't even know I was going to, you know, stick with it or not. And let's see here. So we'll start my 7th grade season, because that was the best one I ever had. We'll start there. I actually went undefeated that year, and I didn't lose once. So you could tell where my pride was after that season and whatnot. And so the 8th grade year comes around, you know. It went much the same, except I lost that year, the last match in the finals. And, man, was I crushed. I was like, I think I beat the kid the year before, too. But I just couldn't fathom, like, what had happened. Why? I think the pride was blinding me and whatnot. But everything I worked for that year seemed absolutely pointless, you know. No one likes second place. I definitely don't. But from there on, like, I kept wrestling it on through high school, that, and it quickly declined, because I lost my desire, I lost my love for the sport, I guess, you know, focus, everything. But through high school, I learned about this my assistant wrestling coach was a motivational speaker, and he taught me this, well, to the whole wrestling team. He taught something called the extra degree. You know, in 8th grade, or I'd see the kids walking around with these hoodies, and it says the extra degree in the back, 212. I'm like, what in God's name does that mean? But does anyone know what, well, I already gave it away, but does anyone know what temperature water boils at? Nailed it. We got it. Okay, anyways. So anyways, my point is that at 100 degrees, water is just warm. At 200 degrees, it's still just warm. At 211, it is pretty hot. But at 212, it begins to boil, and that's when the change occurs. And that's what makes all the difference, when the water begins to boil. And what it comes down to is it was about a train, steam engine, I guess, or boat or something, but needs the water to that extra degree to make the boat move or the vessel move, you know. So, and at the start of my Christian walk, it's, you know, I was kind of wasn't fully in, I wasn't fully out. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 3:16, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And like I said, that pretty much sums up where I was for a while, and it's a slippery slope to be on. And just like Jacob in Genesis, when God touched his hip socket and put it out of place, I too, you know, suffered a couple bumps, bruises, and breaks along the way. And, you know, so, I mean, he dealt with that limp of his hip his whole life as a result of struggling with God that night. And, you know, and there's some scars that, you know, can scar all of us for our whole life that we got to carry from our stupid mistakes. But through it all, what I realized is that his merciful hand was on me the whole entire time, just leading me right to where he wanted me to be. And, you know, and you're in the middle of it, you're in a jail cell or whatnot, you don't know what to do, and you don't know why you're there. You might know why you're there, but like I said, he was leading me right to exactly where he needed me to be that day, and or it, the multiple days. And but Proverbs 3:5-6 says, a lot of you guys know that one, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. So when God showed me how much truth was behind that verse, it finally like clicked in my mind, you know, like increase Jesus, trust in him, decrease Cody, okay? My best thinking got me in a jail cell or, you know, some side of the road somewhere, hung up or... But I'm not in control, and we're not in control. We're not self-sufficient, and what I came to realize is I certainly can't be God in a wrestling match either. So, and all this was revealed to me in just one... And by grace it was revealed, because and there's like, after that there's just so much more revealed. And, you know, for a while I'm trying to, you know, earn my way to heaven. There's absolutely nothing we can do to gain favor, to earn our way there. And, you know, a lot of people are out there with that mindset that you're gonna earn your way to heaven, and it can't be done. We can't add or take away anything that Christ did on the cross. It was pure perfection, pure love. There's nothing, absolutely nothing we can do. And anyways, I was recently listening to, I don't know how recent it was, recent enough, but to the Christian radio station, and this pastor was speaking about how Christians complicate their walk with Christ, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, I complicate everything I do, so. What it came down to is he was saying that all we have to do is let God love us. And I'm like, I kind of laughed a little bit. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Is that all? Is that all I have to do? I'm there with like a whole checklist. Okay. No, throw the checklist out. I don't need it. We don't need it. All we have to do is let him love us. It's that simple. I sat back and I'm like, still thinking, you got to be kidding me. Been trying this for how long? And thought about it. You know, that pastor was right. That pastor's absolutely right. Our Father in heaven just wants to let him love us. And it is just, I don't know why I tend to complicate, I don't know why we need to be doing something, but we don't. We just let him love us and the rest will follow, you know? And when we allow him to love us, the Bible says in Romans 8:38-39, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is probably one of the most powerful verses in the Bible for me to read that. And There's absolutely nothing on this earth that can take us away from his love. And when all these things finally clicked, you know, this wasn't overnight, obviously, but when he finally revealed all this to me, and I was able to look back, like, towards my wrestling career, I'm like, man, that extra degree is what I needed, that little push forward, you know, and it was just what I needed. It's what we all need, you know? And as I look back on my whole life, well, let's say my wrestling career and tied into my Christian faith here, it separated me, you know, from a gold medal that eighth grade year and probably for six other ones after that. It just separated me from a life full of purpose, grace, and abundance. But more importantly, it was separating me from a Heavenly Father who wants to know all of us here intimately, personally. And and I just would like to see everyone get there, you know. And so if there's anyone here today who has never asked Jesus Christ into their heart, I'd like you to pray this next prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I believe that your only Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross and died for my sins. You said in your holy word, Romans 10:9, that if we declare with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Right now, I confess Jesus as the Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised him from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus as my own personal Savior. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me eternal life. In your precious holy name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. Our church is located in Shepton, Pennsylvania. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.